And I want to tell you something that happened last Thursday night. I was preparing to go to Dallas. We drove to Dallas Friday morning, but Thursday night I needed to pack, and during the break I was reading my Facebook updates from my friends. That's what I utilized Facebook for, mainly to see how my friends are doing, and I offer prayers for them if there is a need, or encouragement if they need to, or knight them if that's something that I feel that's a happy event. I offer my encouragement, very simple and very effective. And I read one of my friend's updates, and she said, so many crazy people out there, so many crazy people out there. And she posted a link to the news about what happened last Thursday. Do you know what happened last Thursday? Have you been reading the news? Or have you been too busy watching the Olympics? Something that was really shocking happened last Thursday in Austin. I'm talking about what happened in Austin. Oh, Michael. That's another shocking news. Okay. How about Alice?
Some guy flew a plane at the IRS building in Austin.
Yes, exactly. And that was really shocking. And that proved to us that indeed, I thought in my heart, there are many crazy people in this world. And that event reminded me of what happened on 9/11. The terrorists, two planes into World Trade Center, killing thousands of people. But this person learned from a bad example. And according to my research reading online, further analyzing this event, the pilot is Andrew Joseph Stack III. That's his name, Andrew Stack. And flying his Piper Cherokee, it's a very small plane, and he crashed into building one of the Ashland office complex in Austin, Texas, United States, killing himself and an Internal Revenue Service manager in that office. And his name is Vernon Hunter. And 13 others were injured by this. And approximately 1 hour later, actually 1 hour before this crash, it was found out that Stack also set his own house on fire. And that house cost $230,000. So he set the house on fire. If his wife and kids were there, they would be killed. And then he committed a suicidal attack on the building where IRS officers were at. Thank God only he himself and one officer was killed. It could cause maybe more people to be killed, because there were about 200 people in that building. I want to show you a photo. Yeah, that's the building after the attack already. The fire was out. And here's a close-up with the fire still burning. I mean, pretty serious damage on the building. I mean, I'm glad that only he himself and just one person, someone else was killed. Isn't that crazy? That people would do such a thing to kill themselves and also kill others. And I also read from his suicide note. He actually wrote a suicide note on a website, his personal website, before he did such a foolish thing. He posted a note there, like what he wanted to say before he died. And he mentioned that several times he was having issues with taxes, with debt, and the IRS. The IRS is the government organization that's responsible to make sure that people are paying taxes to the government. And he was caught that he did not pay taxes. And as a result, he was penalized. And as a result, he hated IRS so bad that finally he did something so foolish. I think hearing such news always makes us feel sad and insecure and scared. Don't you feel scared? You think that it's safe in the United States, and while you're driving, you don't know, a plane might just crash into your car. That's very scary. I mean, actually some drivers were hit by the fragments of the plane, and luckily the drivers were not hurt, but the whole windshield was crashed. But that also made us think about why would people do such a thing? And could we end up like Mr. Stack? What do you think? Could we be like him doing such a foolish thing? Was Stack not born a normal person just like us? A very lovely kid when he was a child, and then became such a lunatic doing something so crazy. And I was saying to myself, if not for God, I could be such a lunatic. And how can I myself in the future not be someone like Mr. Seth? Or how can everyone in the congregation not end up like Mr. Seth? No matter how smart you are, he had his own business. He was pretty smart, okay? But being smart does not guarantee that you will not be crazy. And as I analyze, the cause of that is related to money. Now my father has already passed away. Now I really miss the time that he spent with me during dinner time. Usually he will tell me, I read from news today, that someone killed someone else because of money. And this person committed crime because of money. And these two brothers or sisters in the family, they fought because they were fighting over the money that was left behind by the father. And my father was educating me about the concept of money and what money can do to destroy people. And I mean, at that time probably I didn't pay too much attention until I had grown up and I noticed that that is true. Money has the power to destroy people. It is sad. But at the same time, I see that we need money every day, and money can help us to do many good things at the same time. For example, without money, how can you have food? Without money, can you go to McDonald's and say, I need a hamburger? No, you have to give the money. Or a house. Without money, how can you pay for the mortgage, electricity, water, everything? Your parents have paid for you, but they worked really hard to pay for that. And they worked hard in order to receive the payment, the salary from their job, so that they can afford these expenses, or furniture, or a comfortable bed, car, medicine when you're sick, books, computer, jewelry, camera, video games. What you enjoy, most of these, you see that you need money to buy. So, is money a curse or is money a blessing? What do you guys think? I think this is not an easy question to answer. I see that money can be a blessing and it can be a curse as well if we don't handle that carefully. I see that we can live without money and yet we can also die over money that you feel like you cannot live without. Then how can we turn money that can potentially be a curse into a blessing in our life, despite what degree we will get, despite how prestigious a college we will go, and what degree we will get in the future? How can we not end up like Mr. Stack? Today we'll look at the Acts chapter 5 verses 1 to 11. As we just read, I will not go through that verse by verse, word by word. You can open your Bible to Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And I want you to pay attention to observe what is in there. And I ask you questions, you can answer that in your heart. So that you will interact with God's word personally. Because God writes his word to each of us personally. So that we will benefit. Our life will be transformed. So that we will not end up like Mr. Stack. I see that today's message can benefit us greatly. We will see the causes of death. Death of two people in the church established by the apostles about 2,000 years ago. And we will also learn that these I believe, are also the causes of the death of Mr. Stack. After that, we will think about the process that led these three people that I mentioned to death, and that could also lead us to death if we follow the same footsteps, five steps that can cause you to death, started with money. And finally, we will see how can we avoid ourselves from getting into the footsteps of that leads to death. You want to know? What is the first cause of death? The first cause of death, according to this passage, is lying to and testing the Holy Spirit. You'll see what that means. From this passage you just read, it appeared that Peter killed Ananias and Sapphira. Did Peter kill them? No, it was not Peter. Because Peter did not punch, Peter did not kick, he did not stab. He did not even touch Ananias and Sapphira. He simply spoke the truth about what they did, lying to the Holy Spirit and testing the Holy Spirit. Peter said, "You're not just lying to man, but you're lying to God. Holy Spirit is God. It's described as God here. That's why we say the Holy Spirit is also God, equal to God the Father and God the Son." How could Peter know about that? They did that in secret. But Peter was filled by the Holy Spirit. That's why he could know what was in their hearts and their minds. And it was God who took their knives away. According to verse 1 and 2, Ananias and his wife Sapphira simply sold a piece of property and then kept part of the money for himself, Ananias, and brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. That seems to be a nice thing to do, right? You sell something in your house and then you give to the church. Good thing to do. But why did they end up in death, being punished in such a severe way? This passage did not explain how Ananias lied. Not clearly explaining how he lied. But verse 7 reveals that he should be like his wife, who pretended to have given all the money that they have received from the sale of the property. And then they kept part of the money and then pretend that that's all the money while keeping part of the money. So it looks like they were not in need of money, but they wanted to present themselves as someone who is willing to give, to make themselves look good before other people. Remember, giving in the church now and at that time was voluntary. You are not forced to offer to the church, okay? Nobody points a gun at your head and say, if you don't offer money to the church, you'll be killed. No. But they were voluntarily offering to the church just like us. We voluntarily give to the church out of thankfulness to God. But what Ananias and Sapphira did wrong was that they lied about how much they offered to the church in order to impress people about, you know, I mean, what a good charitable heart that they had. If you read verse 2, 8, and 9, it explains clearly how Sapphira lied to Peter. Because Peter asked him, is that all the money that I've gotten from the sale of the property? And she said, yes. And immediately, she died. So I see that lying to the Holy Spirit and testing the Holy Spirit, what that means? Lying to the Holy Spirit, simply not saying the truth, saying something that's false to man, but ultimately it is to God. Because it is in the church. What they were doing were going to corrupt the whole church. If everybody followed the example, they were already about 5,000 people in the church. Could be very serious when sin is not disciplined. It will spread throughout the whole church and the whole church will be corrupted. So that's why Peter did something that disciplined them so seriously. But also because that they were testing the Holy Spirit. That means that they were checking God's limit of patience on them. This should not be the first time they did something like this. And that kept doing this every time they did something wrong against God and against man, they'll think that God is merciful. God will not punish me. I will be okay. When you are sinning, do you sometimes think that way? God sent his own son to die for me so that I can go to heaven. God loves me so much, I can do whatever I want to do and I will be okay. But here it says something a little different. God is love. Yes, but he cares so much for us that if you continue to abuse God's kindness and love by sinning continually and not repenting, turn away from our sins, God will take away our knife, cut our knife short. So that gives you a reason to fear when you are abusing God's grace. When you are sinning, you think that that's okay, I just keep doing it, God will not punish me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 affirms that. If you have your Bible, you can open your Bible to 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Okay, 1 John, at the very end of the Bible, the New Testament. Let me read it. It says that if anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. Now, here John was also talking about that there is a sin that leads to death. Here, this letter was addressed to true believers of Jesus Christ. He was not talking about if you commit a sin, you'll go to hell, because true believers can still commit a sin. But true believers, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, whenever they sin, they truly repent, ask for forgiveness from God. God will forgive them, and then they depend on God's power by having fellowship with God. Then they can stay away from their sins. But here, there are people who continue to abuse God's grace and ignore God's hatred for sins, totally ignore God in their lives. Such true believers will end up their life being cut short if they continue to do that, to sin in their lives, and then God's patience will also have a limit for such people, because it's no good for themselves to continue to live a life like that, and they will hurt other people, corrupt the whole church. So that's why God, even such a loving and kind God, took away their physical life. And I believe they were true believers of Jesus Christ, but because they did not have fellowship with God, they continued to sin to the point that God decided to take away their life. So don't lie to the Holy Spirit. You think that when you come to the church or at work or in your life, you lie to people, you lie to men, you lie to IRS? No. If you're a true believer, you're also lying to God. God can see what you do in private, in secret. Like what Ananias and Sapphira did. And even sex, even IRS find out what he did. That's why he was in trouble. And he could not handle the stress because he was caught. And he committed suicide. And never test the Holy Spirit. Never test the Holy Spirit. Because God might cut your life short. Second cause of death. Let me ask you. We see that the immediate causes of Ananias and Sapphira's death, and I believe also Stag's death, was what? Lying to the Holy Spirit and testing the Holy Spirit, testing God's patience. But what caused them to do that, to lie to the Holy Spirit? What caused them to test the Holy Spirit? What do you think? We see a superficial outside reason for the death, but what was behind that? What was beneath that? Verse 3 says that Satan filled his heart. Here it means that Satan controlled them. So they did what Satan wanted them to do instead of what God wanted them to do. Then I control to ask the question, what caused their hearts to be filled or controlled by Satan? Can our hearts also be controlled by Satan in our lives, even as true believers of Jesus Christ? I see that in verse 2 it tells us that first Ananias kept part of the money. I see that that led him to be controlled by Satan. And then lying to the Holy Spirit, testing the Holy Spirit to the point that God decided to take away the Ananias. I see that we all have a tendency to do things before people in order to impress people. Have you not done things to impress people, to make yourself look good so that people will praise you? In school, you want to get good grades so that teacher will say, oh good. And then you get really proud about yourself. You say, I am the best, I am the best. Nobody is as good as I am. And then you become very proud. And you don't even want to talk to those so-called students who are like second-rated, who cannot get good grades. You feel that you should only hang out with those people who are excellent, because those are the people of the same class. You can be so proud. We sometimes do things like what Ananias and Sapphira did. Do good things in front of people in order to impress people, so that we can be honored. Just like in Hong Kong, I watched many TV shows. I mean, that was part of what we did during dinner time. And they were fundraising events. And this big movie stars, superstars would go on TV, do some performances. And then a very wealthy guy would come out. If you do this, I'm willing to give you like $1 million to this organization. See, they made it known how much money they have donated. They already were wealthy. They did not necessarily need that $1 million still. That's another money, right? But they feel like, oh, I have all the money I need. Now I also want reputation. I want honor. I want people to praise me. I see that that's one of the reasons why many people would do charitable work in front of people to impress people so that they can be praised. Do you know how Jesus taught about giving money, doing good things? Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. It tells us what attitude we should have and how we should give our money or do charitable things. Matthew chapter 6, verse 2-4, in the New Testament first book. Let me read it. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets to let everybody know, I've given a lot of money to the needy, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the street to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. They are not going to receive any more reward. They already got their reward from people. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Do it in secret, anonymously. Don't even tell people who you are. Just give the money. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Obviously, they did not follow, or they did not learn about Jesus' teaching about giving to honor God, to help those who are truly in need, instead of taking that as a chance to honor ourselves. So whatever you are going to do in the future, fundraising, whatever, try to keep that to yourself if possible. Don't boast about it. If you have to tell people about what you have done in order to encourage other people to also join you, that's why I see that Ananias and Sapphira, they were even worse than hypocrites. Because besides being hypocritical, they also lied. And they also were greedy, not only for money, but also for honor for themselves. They gave maybe 50% of what they received from the sale of the property. And then they presented that they gave 100%. Can you relate to that? It's like there is a test. The teacher said that it requires you to spend so much time doing the reading, and then there will be a take-home exam. Close book, okay? And then you did not do the reading, and then you still say, oh, I mean, a report, reading report, I did the reading. And during the closed book exam, you say that, I mean, I did not read the book, I don't know how to answer that, but I do want to have a good grade, so you open your books and get all the answers right. See, you will get an honor, maybe you get an A. But in God's eye, you have failed. Because we have lied not only to man, but also to God. If we continue to do such things, starting from school, and don't turn away from that and repent and say sorry to God and not do it again, there will be a point that you will end up like Ananias and Sapphira and for Mr. Stack. Let's see, what's the path, five-step path that led to the death of Ananias, Sapphira, and also Mr. Stack? I see that the first step starts with love of money. Love of money. What love of money would lead to is not loving God, leading a godless life. That's number two. And step three, after not having God, what would take charge in your life? Satan. If you love money, you will not love God. And then Satan will take control of your life, and Satan would ask you to do things without God's power, and you will say, yes, I'll do it. And end up lying to the Holy Spirit, testing the Holy Spirit, the fourth step, and finally, death. I said these are the five steps that could lead each of us away from God, and finally sinning to the point that our life will be cut short. Why do I say this? Because the Bible, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, say that. Matthew, same book that you open to. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Jesus taught a lot about money. Because many people, they sin when it came to money. Like today, many people, they sin because of money, even leading to death. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. When you serve money, you will not serve God. When you love money, you will not love God. If you love money, don't tell me that you love God, because I mean, money has become your master, and you cannot have two masters. So that's why 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. Tells us the consequences of loving money in our lives. Money itself is neutral, but loving money or greedy for money, that would cause serious problems, even death. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Okay, let me read it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge man into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's the root of all kinds of evil. It's the love of money. Greed for money, not money itself. Some people eager for money have wandered from their faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Many people think that money, having money will satisfy all their needs, and in the end, they'll end up in more misery, grief, even death. That's quite sarcastic, but some people, without the wisdom from God's word, they're just blind to buy into the lie that if you have money, all the money you need, you will be happy, and you will have everything that you need. And I will show you that that's not true. So, love of money, the first step, that would need us to live a godless life, and that would need Satan to take control of our lives, and that would need to us lying to the Holy Spirit, first lying to man, lying to the Holy Spirit, and then testing the Holy Spirit, and finally leading us to destruction, ruin, maybe expressed in the form of death, taken away by God, or committing even suicide. So how can we prevent ourselves from loving money and ending up in such ruin and destruction and even death? I know we all feel money is very important, but do you not only know the importance of money, but you also love money? You want more and more. You feel that you will be the happiest person on earth if you have the amount of money that Bill Gates has, the richest person on planet Earth. I see that in order to prevent ourselves from loving money, we need to fear God. According to Acts chapter 5, what we just read, 5 and 11, I see that the purpose of taking away these two believers' knives in the New Testament church was that. Verse 5, when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Seeing what just happened, the whole church was in fear. God should be feared. We should not abuse God by continuing to live in sin and think that God will not discipline us and we'll be okay. We can get away from it. With that fear, I believe they would think twice, if not thrice, before they test the Holy Spirit, like what Ananias and Sapphira did. Verse 11. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Repeated twice, the result was great fear in the church, and I believe that immediately stopped this sin from spreading in the church. Fear God. Do you have fear for God? Do you know who is the ultimate master who gives you life and sustains your life every day? It is God. It is not even your parents who has paid you to have food, water, and everything. Ultimately, it is God who makes it possible for you to live. Second, to prevent us from loving money, not only should we fear God, but we should trust God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. New Testament. You can open your Bible to that. I want you to be familiar with the Bible. When I mention Bible verse, and I will read that to you. God's word is the instruction manual for your life in order that your character and your behavior will be transformed to be holy people, to be good people in God's eyes, so that you will not end up becoming slaves of sin or a victim of sin. Here, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says that, keep your life free from the love of money. And be content with what you have. What you have, you know, that's what I need. I'm happy. Thank you, God, for giving me what I already have. I do not need to keep drilling on what I do not have. But what I have, I know, it's God's gift to me to sustain my life, to provide just what I need. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. He will give you strength even when the economy is bad. Or I heard stories that people who lost their jobs and God still provided their needs through other means. And they saw that God is to be trusted. God indeed loves us. He keeps even the birds alive. We are much more precious in His eyes. Of course, He will keep us alive if we continue to trust Him. Not meaning that we should be lazy and do nothing, but we trust God and do what God has strengthened us to do. So I want you to think about, we know what money can buy, right? But what money cannot buy? Do you know that? I have for sharing the gospel, one of the tools is money traps. Okay? And on the back, it tells us what money can buy and what money cannot buy. It takes someone who can understand Chinese. This is in Chinese though, okay? But maybe if you don't understand Chinese, I'm going to translate that for you. And if you don't remember it, put that in your Bible as a bookmark. Whenever you read God's word, it reminds you, love God, not money. And also ask your mom or dad what that means, and it will help your mom to remind your mom or dad, don't love money more than God. And what money can buy and what money cannot buy, could you just pass that around, 50 of them, so it should be enough. Each person take one. Okay? And I will translate that for you, what that means. I think it's very inspiring and it's true. Okay? What it says is that money can buy a bed, maybe an expensive, comfortable bed, but not good sleep. True? Money can buy books, but not wisdom. Many people can buy many books to put down on the bookshelf. Some of them even read about them, have some knowledge, but not wisdom. How you apply the knowledge is from God. Can buy food, but not good appetites. I found out that many wealthy people, they don't have good appetites like poor people. They work and they can eat anything and they feel, and that's so delicious. Decoration, but not beauty. House, but not family. Medicine, but not health. Luxury, but not good taste. Entertainment, but not happiness. Even the cross, you can buy it. Some people can even afford to buy a church building, but not the Savior. You cannot use money to buy the Savior and salvation to heaven. You have to trust Christ alone. But it says that what money cannot buy, Jesus Christ gave all those who believe in him for free. Then ask, is Jesus Christ your Savior? If not, turn away from your sins and trust God. God will forgive your sins and give you a new life that and provide you with what money cannot buy. And God will also provide what you need that money can buy. Isn't that wonderful? We are blessed who believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and also we also follow him as our Lord as we continue to study God's word and live it out. So that's for you, a little gift. So trust God and learn to enjoy what money cannot buy. If you have the habit of depending on your pleasure on what money can buy, guess what? You always feel that you don't have enough money. But you focus on what money cannot buy that will truly satisfy me by trusting God, you don't need that much money and you can still be fulfilled by God's provision. See, that's the key to true happiness in Christ. And I also would advise that you only buy what you need, not what you want, or not what the advertisements say that if you don't have this, this would be a big loss in your life and you'll regret for the rest of your life. The advertisements are very successful in convincing people if you don't buy this product, then you are a loser. You have to buy this or you cannot be happy. That's not true. Actually, those people who buy into this advertisement, I would say that they will never be truly happy. And they have expressed that also that they are quite foolish to be willing to buy into what the advertisements will convince them to buy that they don't need. Be wise. And wisdom only comes from fear of the Lord, according to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. I also suggest that learn to save money. America says that spend money as much as you can. Even if you don't earn it, use credit card. But it's wisdom. You have the money, 100%. I only use 90%. 10% of that I should give that to God. And another 10% I should save that for the future. Like what Joseph did for Egypt. That is good time money management. That's wisdom. So that you will not be over anxious when the economy is bad. You worry, I will lose my job. I will not be able to pay for mortgage. I will not be able to, you know, even keep my knife to provide the necessities of life. But if you have saved money to prepare for those emergent situations, you don't need to be over anxious. What God is providing you for now, actually, that's also for you to prepare for the future. So have this perspective about money. Don't buy the nice of the world. I also want you to think about what God has provided for you in the past, when you were in trouble, when the economy was bad, when you lost your job, or when your parents lost their jobs. I lost my job once, but God immediately provided for me. And always think about those things that will help you to build your trust and confidence in God and how God would provide for you. That's why Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The economy has been pretty bad for more than 1 year, but we are still doing okay, right? I mean, we're still coming to worship God. We can still have joy because we have Christ and we know that He provides for us. And He will continue to provide for us if we continue to trust Him. Lastly, serve God. Matthew, also in Matthew, another verses from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Serve God, that's a way for us to prevent us to love money instead of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But this is a familiar verse. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God knows our needs. He will provide what we need if we trust Him and serve Him, seek His kingdom and righteousness that lasts forever, instead of what that does not last and does not truly satisfy us. Those who are seeking, I know in school, even high school, middle school, there are career days, and that different professionals will come to the school and then tell you what we do, how much money we make, they want to be like me, things like that. And but I want to remind you that when you look for a job for the future, most of you, you're in school, that's for, you're preparing for your future career. Or even now you're working in a career, I want you to think about this. Don't use money as the only criteria for a job or a career choice. Should not be the only criteria. It might be one of the criteria you should consider, because you need to provide for your family, right? Make sure it also matches your gift. God has given different people different gifts and strengths, passions, and whether this job glorifies God, whether in this job you do things that sin against God, or you can actually be a good testimony to tell people, see, I mean, this job everybody's doing this way, we can do it in God's way, and God will still bless us. And I can be still happy and fulfilled. Maybe I cannot get extremely rich or wealthy, but God is the source of true joy. If you are already working or even studying for a major, and you really hate your job, and you hate what you're studying, that might be a hint. You know, maybe that's not the job you should do for the rest of your life. You hate every minute of it. God should give us joy if that is the job that God has designed us to do. And don't be willing to just settle for what will just provide for your needs now out of convenience. I don't want to make a change to experience joy in my career because it would cost me another time and money and take another risk to be re-educated, retrained for another job. No, it's worthwhile. I would rather spend more money and time on training for a job that God wants me to do and suffer for maybe 10 years for the training than live the whole life 50 years later and regret that, why didn't I do this? And I always regret about suffering for my whole life in my career. Be wise. And I also suggest that do not take extra jobs if you don't have to. You already have a full-time job. Some people want to get extra money. As a result, they have no time for family, no time for themselves, no time for God, no time for church or friends. That's not wise, because one day suddenly we just die. All the time you spend on making money, you cannot take away the money, and the knife is not in your own hand. Even Michael Jackson died prematurely, having so much money, and was ready to go around the globe to have, you know, spectacular performances. He was very healthy. Okay, he just could not sleep. So let me conclude. Love of money is the root cause of all evil. Also, the death of Ananias and Sapphira. And I believe also sex. It takes 5 steps to death. Starting from love of money. What's the second step? What would love of money lead to?
Godless knife.
And then what would godless knife lead to? The S word, Satan. Satan take control of your life. What's the fourth step? Fifth step is death, okay? Fourth step. Lying to the Holy Spirit and testing the Holy Spirit. Let's repeat that again, okay? Repetition is the master of learning. Okay, first step, causing the death. What is that? Love of money. Second step. Godless life. Third step. Satan takes control. Fourth step. Lying to the Holy Spirit and testing the Holy Spirit. Fifth step. I hope you will never even get to the first step. If you are already in the middle of it, repent and turn away from it, or otherwise you will end up in death. Serious. And to avoid us from dying the way Ananias and Sapphira did, we should fear God, we should trust God, and we should serve God in everything that we do. Every day. And God will turn money into blessing in our life. Instead of that money be a curse in our lives. Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, your word provides for every need, for our godly living and for a living that benefits us, even talking about money. You are the creator of all things, and you understand money better than anyone else. And I pray that money itself is not bad, but would you help us not be lovers of money? I pray that you help us to turn away from our greed for money or honor, and that will cause us into all kinds of temptations, ruins, sins, and even death. I pray that God give us fear of you. You are the sovereign master of our life. If you do not sustain our life, we cannot even breathe for 1 second. Would you also help us to trust you? Not money, not a job that pays well, or what the world says will give us security, but trust Christ alone for our provisions, for provision of our strength and wisdom to do what you want us to do in your way. And lastly, I pray that we are willing to invest our time in eternity, not just what lasts now. Give us this wisdom today. And I pray that no one will end up like Ananias, Sapphira, and Seth. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.